morning and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This morning, with the Lord's help, I'm going to be preaching the fifth message of a seven-part series we started several weeks ago on why churches die. And what I want to do this morning with the Lord's help is look at several verses found in the book of Acts that deal with the early church and prayer. Folks talk a lot about the early church and how the early church did things and the power of God, how it was on the early church and how God moved through the early church. Well, the early church was a praying church. And prayer had a lot to do with what God was doing in that church, in the early church, and what was going on. And what I want us to do is I want us to see the importance of the necessity of prayer in the local church. And so the title of my message this morning is, The Church That Prays Together Stays Together. Acts chapter 1, verse number 13. Acts chapter 1, verse number 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Let's just go ahead and pray here. Brother Russell, would you pray, and everybody can be seated this morning. Yes, amen. Yeah.
Nothing less, dear Lord. I pray that you would be with us. Help us have an understanding, dear Lord. I pray that you open up our ears, open up our hearts, our mind to you.
Yes.
Help us put aside things of the world.
Yes.
Things of our life right now and focus on you and what you want us to hear, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
So we can be attentive and not only can hear it, but can put it into practice.
Dear yes.
Lord, and be the people you want us to be.
Yes.
Glorify and honor you.
Yes.
All the things that we do and say. So bless them in Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I want you to notice right here when the early church is getting started, they're gathering in the upper room, and the Bible says they're all in one accord in prayer. Just want to flip through a few verses in the book of Acts this morning and show you how serious the early church was, and when the thing was just getting kicked off the church age, how serious they were about prayer. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. Now we're going to turn to several verses here to begin with, then we won't be turning anymore, and I'll be preaching, but I want to get a foundation. Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Boy, that's great, ain't it? That's a great addition to the church, but what's going on maybe to help contribute to that addition? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking the bread and prayer. So they're the early church of Jerusalem. The Bible says they're steadfast in prayer. It's something that they do often. They're doing it continually. Look there in Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31. People talk about, I want the power of God on the church. I want to see God move in the church. I want to see God shake the church up. Is there anybody here this morning that feels that way about this church? So I see the power of God do something in this church. All right, Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The church prays, the place shakes, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. God showed up when the church prayed. Acts chapter 6, verse number 4. Acts chapter 6, verse number 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's the leaders saying, man, we're going to be praying continually. Acts chapter 6, verse number 6. Just a few verses down. And when they sat before the apostles and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. There they're praying about the deacons, amen. Boy, if we get the leaders praying and praying about the deacons, man, we can get something done around here, can't we? Look there in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, they start praying again. I just want to show you all the places this morning, all the things that the early church was praying about. Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Did you hear that? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They're praying for Peter. He's a prisoner of the Lord. And what does that prayer do? Chapter 12, verse number 12. Chapter 12, verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They're in a house gathered together praying. And old Peter's broken out of jail. He's woken up by the angel of the Lord. And he goes to John Mark's mother's house, where the people are gathered there praying. Amen. Are you starting to see a theme? Acts 13:3. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That's the church praying and fasting for Barnabas and Paul before Paul leaves for his first missionary journey. Acts 14:23. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Listen, they're praying and fasting over the elders, the ordained elders, the people in charge of the church. They're praying and fasting. Just a few more. Acts 16:16. You see how all through the book of Acts, the church is gathered together, the people are praying. Acts chapter 16, verse number 16. Acts 16, verse number 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer. Now I wanted to call this example to you. They're going to pray. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. They're on their way to pray, and a devil possessed lady shows up and is bothering them and following them for many days. You know what? When the church starts praying, then something in the spiritual world starts happening. The Lord starts doing something in the church, and the devil gets stirred up. The devil ain't bothering us too much because we ain't stirring up the spiritual world much. You know, what's going on in this church right now? There ain't no opposition to anything because there ain't nothing to oppose right now. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm trying to get our hearts and minds stirred up to want to pray again and see the power of God in this place. One more, Acts 20, Acts chapter 20, verse number 36. Acts chapter 20, verse number 36. Acts 20, 36, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. That's Paul kneeling and praying with the Ephesians before he leaves for Jerusalem. Do you see what we've just read? You know what you see in the early church? In the early church, there's a whole lot of praying going on. They're praying and the power of God's coming down, and they're fasting and they're praying. They're praying for people to get loose, and they're praying for their leaders, and they're praying for their deacons, and they're praying who God wants them to have in position. They're just doing a lot of praying. Now, what about the church today? Let's make it a little bit more personal. What about this church today? Now, you know that I've got the idea from this series, and I keep mentioning this because some people come that haven't been on parts of the series yet. I got this idea from reading a book written by Dr. Rainer, a fellow who wrote a book, it's The Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And he talked about churches he studied that were dying, had died and shut their doors, and things that was causing problems in those churches. And he had a chapter in that book entitled "The Church Rarely Prayed Together." And in that chapter, he discusses that one of his findings was a church, as a local church, that stopped praying together as a church, or the prayer life went down as a church. He said that was a church heading for death. That was a church that was going to be in the dying stage soon if it wasn't already there. Now, I want to say that I believe this is an area that we as a church can certainly improve upon. I believe that. I want to say, as your pastor, I take some responsibility for that. I do not believe that we have set times and we have had purpose and we have had sincerity, and that we've made prayer a great priority in this church. I believe what's happened in this church is for years, God's just blessed it, and God's just done something here. And I tell you what I believe what's happened. We've took the blessings of God for granted. We've just sat back and just watched all the growth and watched what God's done here. And we took the preaching for granted. I believe some of you took your pastor for granted. I believe many people took this church for granted. I believe we took these facilities for granted. I believe we took the blessings of God for granted. And we've just sat back now and we want God to keep pouring it in. He says, no, you're not talking to me about it. You're not begging for it. You're not praying for it. You're not earnestly seeking for it. And I think what's happened in heaven is that God shut the spigot off up there on us. And if we don't commence to praying and begging for God to do something, it's over. Now this is a serious thing this morning. We've got to get back in touch with God. We're not in this church. The song services are deader than they've ever been. The preaching, I don't have any power anymore. Things are not getting done. People just come in half the time and half the time they don't. We've got to recognize that. We've got to cry out to God for help. Not be satisfied with where we're at. We have a prayer meeting here on Sunday morning at 9:30. From 9:30 to 10, we might have 20 people that show up for it. We've been doing it for years. We need to, that prayer meeting is vitally important. And you know what? We sort of lax with it. We don't get it started. I'm going to try to work on that. I'm going to try to work on getting it started more on time. And having more time, that's a good 30 minutes we can spend praying every day. Praying on Sunday mornings before that service ever starts. On Wednesday night we have some prayer. We don't do it as much. I believe I need that Wednesday night to teach and preach the Bible. Because we need to learn that and we need it. But we need to spend some time praying in our Sunday school. There's nothing wrong with you Sunday school classes. Taking one service every once in a while. Don't teach anything, just pray. The power of God. When you have your women's meeting, when we have the brotherhood, just men gathering together and praying for this outfit around here, and the ladies gathering together and praying. We have the youth prayer meeting that's just been started once a month. I think that's great. I praise the Lord that Brother Russell wants to do that. I pray that you parents will back Brother Russell and have your youth here and be in that once a month prayer meeting. It's something we need in this church. You know, used to a church wouldn't even have a revival. Wouldn't even think about having revival without having cottage prayer meetings for a week or two. You remember that? They'd go to somebody else's house every night and for a couple of weeks or so preceding that revival. People would meet and pray and beg God. They knew that God was only going to move if the people cried out to Him. Now we just throw something together and we just show up when we want to and we just sit back and expect God just to show up like He does. God doesn't owe us His presence. God doesn't owe us to show up this morning and the power be poured out on this place. He doesn't owe us anything. We are to beseech Him and beg Him to show up. We don't do it. I think about small group prayers. Those things are vitally important. Brother Jared was sharing some of that in Sunday school. And some things they've been doing, and some things in the past, and some things he just was doing, and just a few of his friends, a few of his buddies just gathering together and praying and how God would pour it out. Hey, I'd like to see some of you do that. I'm not worried about a church overtake or somebody doing something behind my back. If I ain't worried about that stuff. Why don't some of you get together with each other that's friends with each other and have you some prayer meetings together? I think the Bogans can give you a testimony when they used to have prayer in their house and the times they had prayer in their house. And I've been to some of those prayers. They used to have a prayer meeting. They had great testimonies of what God did in their family and the prayers that was answered when they would just meet together and pray and cry out to God ever so often. I'm telling you, I'm preaching on something. Listen, up until now, I preached on things that are potential problems. This is my fifth message in a series of seven. But today, this morning, I'm preaching on a problem. We don't have corporate prayer. We are not gathering together as a church and praying with fervency like we ought to. And I believe that's why we don't have the power of God on it like we did 2 or 3 years ago. believe why we're not growing none. I believe that's why even why the offerings are down. I believe that's why the attendance is down. And we can just keep sitting back and propping our feet up and not crying out to God, and it's just going to slowly and gradually keep going down. We don't, it's like Brother Jerry said again in Sunday school, we don't need a new method, we don't need a new plan, we don't need to scratch our heads and try to come together and see what we can devise to reach these people and to get cut. There's not some magic formula. We just need some of God's children that'll take some time and come together and cry out together for the power and the presence of God to fall on this place. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Nothing's going to get done if he don't show up. It's overlooked. It's a vital part of our church's power and spiritual success. I do believe, most certainly, we are at a point in the life of this church that we need to focus on the power of prayer more than we ever have. You and I need to have, listen, we need to have a personal prayer life that enables us to reach God through corporate prayer. I'm not preaching on your personal prayer life this morning. I'm preaching on us as a church. However, it's going to be hard for you to come here and us to get in as a church and pray together as a church if you're not praying like you ought to as an individual. Great Sunday school lesson again on that this morning about prayer. Praying privately, going into your closet, having a time set aside every day where you cry out to God, and then staying in a spirit of prayer all day long. Talking with the Lord. It'll keep you as a Christian. I believe it's going to keep this church from dying. I just want you to think about three things real quick that prayer can accomplish and prayer reveals. Here we go, 3 points. Number one, friendship and unity. Friendship and unity. This is very practical stuff I'm fixing to give you, but I want to sell you on this, okay? You ought to be sold on it just because the Bible said it. I want you to think about something. Friendship and unity. Do you realize it's very difficult to stay mad at someone when you're praying with them and for them? Amen. Do you know why all these churches bust up and folks get mad? And you know what? I've been discouraged here the last year of people getting mad over petty little things and leaving this church, or getting mad and then won't even talk to me about why they leave the church. But I tell you what you can do, brother, if we'll pray together like we're supposed to, it's hard to get mad and stay mad with somebody when you're praying with them and when you're praying for them. Any of you ever have somebody that really done you wrong and you were mad with them and you were huffy and puffy and couldn't get over it, couldn't forgive them, couldn't seem to get past it? Anybody here ever had that problem? I know somebody's had that problem besides me. Let me tell you what you do. You just keep praying for them. You say, well, I just don't feel it. I don't want, I know, but you keep praying for them. And I'm telling you, eventually, the feeling will match the will. Prayer is a will. When my will choose to pray for these people I don't like and to pray that God will bless them and pray that God will help them. And then you'll start feeling it. I'm telling you, when a church prays together, it's hard for folks to stay mad with one another. It's hard for folks to not grant forgiveness to one another. And I believe, Brother Jared, that's a lot of reason why people get mad and split and they fuss and fight. Because when they do get offended, there ain't been no prayer going on and they ain't had no fellowship and unity. So they just get mad and blow out. I thought Christians, of all people, ought to be able to demonstrate forgiveness and restoration above anybody. I mean, if we can't forgive and we can't restore and we can't go on, who can? Believe nobody can. You know, it is, tell you something else about this friendship and unity. Here's something else I thought about. This is great, even if I did think about it. I hope the Lord gave it to me. Do you know that corporate prayer is something that the whole church can do together? The whole church can't go to the nursing home. The whole church can't go to the street. Everybody can't pass out tracts. Everybody can't teach a Sunday school class. Everybody can't sing in the choir, but this is the one thing we all can get together and do together. We can get together and empowered by the Spirit of God together, pray that the glory of God will fall down. We can all do that together. Why ain't some of you excited about it? Some of you looking at me like, who cares? You don't want to do something together? You ought to be smiling about that. This is something we can come in here together and pray with each other. Consistent corporate prayer helps create and keep unity. Unity is real important in the church. And I'm telling you, I believe one of the reasons you have so much disunity is you have an abandonment of prayer. And I'm telling you, when folks are coming and crying and praying, and that fella sitting over there that you don't like, that's made you mad or offended you, one day they raise their hand and their lips are quivering and, you know, pray for my wife, she's got cancer. Pray for my nephew, he's got 6 months to live. You got to be a hard-hearted, mean person not to empathize with that person. I don't care how much you don't like them. And then that gets pity in your heart for them, and you reach out to them. I'm telling you, when this church is praying together like it ought to be, won't nobody stay mad with each other. Amen. There'll be unity. And where unity is, God will show up. Wow. Got to get to praying. When we fervently pray for one another, we build and enhance relationships. I'm not trying to turn this into a humanistic thing where it's all about people, not about God. But you need to have friendships in this church. Listen, we need to be friends with one another. We need to like one another. We need to love one another. You don't just come to church and tolerate each other. You come to church and you love one another. Now, I know why some of you don't love one another, don't like one another like you ought to. All you ever see is their faults. Bless God, you don't think you have any, but you see theirs. All you can remember is what they said or didn't say or how they didn't appreciate you. Why? Listen. And you ain't spent 5 minutes of prayer for them, but you know why you don't like them. That's part of the problem. I'm telling you, you can have more friendship and unity when people get in one mind and one accord, and that can only be achieved by unity in the Word and in prayer. The Word of God and our unity and that is the most important, but prayer is right behind it. It means a lot. Number two, I'm not just looking at the friendship and unity. I'm looking at the fellowship and communion. It's with each other and with God. We need to be fellowshipping with God. I think it's a great thing when God's people comes together and pours their heart out together. Amen. Together. And talk with God. You need to do it on an individual basis, but we need to come together and pray to the Lord. I think it's good fellowship and communion not only with us and God, but with each other. Boy, you build some strong bonds when you pray with people. You build some strong bonds when you're together and you come to the altar together and you're out there in the sanctuary together and you show up at cottage prayer meetings in people's houses together, small groups together. I mean, there's just a closeness and a fellowship that goes on there. That's needed in our churches. There is something about a church getting together and unity and fellowshipping with the Lord. It's real important you do that through prayer. It is good for God's people to come together and commune with God. It's great. It's great for us all to do it together. And as I said in the previous point, that is something we all can do. So it shouldn't be neglected. It's something we can do. And then I think about my last point, fervor and humility. You know, I believe when we cry out to God with a contrite and a broken heart, we get His attention. When we show God how desperate we are and that we know we are finished without His help, we get His attention. And we can only do that and express that through prayer. We come to God and we say, God, our church is over. Our spiritual growth is over. We've met here in vain, God, if you don't do something. We are totally dependent upon you. We don't deserve you to show up. We don't deserve you to blow in here. We've done nothing to merit it, nothing to achieve it. But God, we are desperate and needy people. We beseech you, we beg you, Lord, to come in here. Not because we deserve it, but because you have mercy on your children. That's the attitude of the church. See, that's the problem with the church today. That's why fervent, humbling prayer is missing. It's Laodicea. Laodicea don't think they need anything.
Right.
Laodicea, we got all the programs, we got all the money, we got all the facilities. We don't need the power of God. Yeah, Laodicean churches, they do have all the money and do have the facilities and do have the program. And that's why it's dead. It's 4 o'clock in the morning in there. And that's why they sit service after service after service after service and listen to some old dead preacher. It's dry as cracker juice and nothing ever gets done in that church. And if the Holy Ghost did show up, it'd scare half of them to death.
Amen. Amen.
That's what's going on in our churches. When we cry out, when we have fervor and earnestness in our prayer, but we do it in humility. You ask me, what is the one thing that you believe above anything gets God's attention? I mean, I believe a lot of things maybe can get God's attention. But if you were to nail me down and say, Brother Dennis, what do you personally believe is the number one ingredient if you want God to help you and to be merciful to you and to look towards you and to show up and do something? What would you say the number one thing is? I'd say humility. That Bible says God will resist the proud. But what does the rest of that verse say? Anybody know it? Give us grace to the humble. You know what that is? That's resisting or grace. How many of you want grace? How many of you want grace on this church? Now, you know what I get the image when I read that verse in my mind? It says God will resist the proud. Listen, it ain't even just that God won't fool with you. If you're proud and make any effort to come to you, the Bible says, now this is what the Bible says, He resists you. It's like, stay back, I'm not fooling with you. That's God toward you or church or whatever. But when we're humble, He responds with grace. And I tell you what, if we, out of humility, cry out to God, I believe He'll do something here. I really believe He will. We need to come together often in humility and plead for God. Plead for God to show up. Plead for God for our sick. Plead for God for our hurting. Plead for God for the needy. Plead for God for the lost. Plead to God for His power on our lives and on this church. Get ready to wrap this up this morning. In that chapter we was talking about, I was reading in Dr. Rayner's book. I wanted to read this to you. Dr. Rayner said that when he questioned the churches that had died and shut the doors, he said most of them had some type of weekly prayer time. So then he would ask them two questions. This is what he'd ask them when he interviewed the people after the churches had been shut down and locked, and that was the end of it. He'd ask them this. He said, number one, do you really think that was a meaningful time of prayer? And then he'd ask them this. Number two, do you think that's how the New Testament churches prayed? And this is what he said. He said, inevitably, there would be a pause and then an admission. No, they said, it was more like routine or ritual. You know what I see sometimes in 9:30, even the faith, and I'm not getting on you, you're the faithful ones. But ain't just 9:30 in the morning, ain't just Wednesday night. We pray because this is what you do at 9:30. This is what you do before He preaches. Is what you do on Wednesday night. It's more of a routine and a ritual than a desperation and a need. Oh, God, I'm here tonight and I have got to get in touch with You. He goes on. He said there was one particular fellow he asked this question to. And he asked those two questions. And this is what he says. He says, this fellow does this. He says, this fellow said, there was a day when prayer was powerful in our church. He said, people would pray before the worship services. He says, small groups spent a lot of time in prayer. He said, we prayed intensely for our community. And then Dr. Rayner said, tears welled up in that man's eyes. And he said, he paused and he started again. And he said, and we stopped praying with the passion we once had. That's it. That was the beginning of the decline that led to our death. We stopped taking prayer seriously, and the church started dying. No prayer, no hope, and the church started dying. Amen. When I first began this series, the very first message I preached, I said something. I can't remember exactly what it was. I believe I said something to the effect that this was mostly preventative, that I didn't think our church was dead or dying. Let me just say, as I prayed and we've gotten into this and I've been watching this thing for about 6 months, I certainly don't think our church is dead. But we are definitely heading toward dying. This church is turning the wrong way. And if there's any message I'm going to preach in this series, I believe that's the most important in getting us back where our hearts are strangely warmed and to see God do something. It's going to begin with us praying. Praying often, praying fervently, praying humbly, and praying like everything depends on it. Because in essence it does. It's all about what God does. And if He don't do it, it ain't going to get done. So today I wonder if there's anybody here that will, where you're at, or come up here to this altar and for the sake of this church, beg for mercy, cry out for grace, plead for His power, beg for His presence. Purpose in your heart that you're not going to halt until God hears. Every head bowed, eye closed. Brother Jared, do y'all have anything y'all can...